Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Hey And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Hour number two, great to have you with me. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com. Keep tuned in there, and you'll watch TECN-TV all day long right there on the player at the website. You can also catch us on our radio program across the country as well. All right. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. He is a professor at the University of San Francisco, specializing in political science and Middle Eastern issues. And I want to welcome to the program Professor Stephen. Hang on. I had this just about 2 seconds ago. Professor Stephen Zunes. Did I say that right, Zunes?
Zunes, two syllables.
Zunes, I apologize. Okay. Professor, welcome. Good to have you.
Great to be with you.
We were just kind of chopping it up a little bit about San Francisco and history and things of that nature. Being a guy that grew up in the Bay Area, I had some background in that area. It's a fun area to grow up back in the day. Go ahead.
I grew up in North Carolina.
But wow!
Time out here.
What a huge difference in landscape between North Carolina and San Francisco. Although the coastal and the the greenery and so forth, North Carolina has a pretty good coastline as well.
Oh yeah, I just have to get used to the fact that here the ocean is to the west, the mountains are to the east. You know, so I still got my east and west mixed up sometimes because I was just used to the
yes, absolutely, yep, absolutely. I have to fight that instinct. Well, welcome. So let's get into, I guess, a little bit about the Menendez situation. Tell me what you've been following with regards to that, and your thoughts at first blush.
Well, I mean, this is like old school kind of corruption. I mean, this is not the indirect thing where, you know, people try to influence somebody through campaign contributions, which is legal. This is we're talking about $480,000 in cash found hidden in his house, along with these gold bars. Another $70,000 in cash in a safety deposit box, a Mercedes convertible in the garage, payments for a mortgage from these sketchy sources. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you find, I mean, this is pure tabloid type headlines, quite extreme, even by the normal corrupt standards of Washington. I mean, this is really, really quite striking. I mean, he claims it was all honestly gained, you know, that even though, of course, they found the fingerprints of these shady businessmen on the cash that was found in his home. Right. He said he's what keeps it there for emergencies, to which Senator John Fetterman said, for emergencies in our house, we have an extra flashlight. But, it is quite significant, especially given his influence. I mean, he's a pretty powerful senator. He's head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This is where, I mean, the executive branch is primarily in charge of foreign policy, of course. But, senators, Senate Foreign Relations Committee can have an influence. I mean, we think of some of the influential heads of Senate Foreign Relations Committee over the years, J. William Fulbright, who was willing to question not just he was a Democrat, but he was willing to question not just Nixon, but Johnson as well about Vietnam. We think of Senator Lugar, the Republican from Indiana, one of the most knowledgeable people on foreign policy. He played a strong leadership. Frank Church. I mean, a lot of folks have played an important role, but Menendez, I mean, you know, he, you could sort of see maybe a foreign government trying to get an asset, say, with a staffer of the Foreign Relations Committee, but having the gall to go for the senator, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee itself. I mean, this is pretty huge.
You're out in California. I'm curious to bring up just as a parallel with this. What happened with Eric Swalwell, the House on the House Intelligence side, who was clearly found to be sleeping with a Chinese spy whore madam, who then infiltrated the House Intelligence Committee based on Reuters' report. Reuters actually came out and said that there was a program that was being used now by the CCP that was an NSA program. And this was after it was discovered that Swalwell was engaged with this Chinese spy whore, which is absolutely factually in place, and that he introduced many of her constituents, if you will, to members in critical areas. Do we just have a moral breakdown? I know that Republicans have been guilty of things as well, but do we just plain have a moral breakdown when it comes to these kinds of issues, period?
I mean, obviously, if you're going to be dealing in foreign affairs, you got to be squeaky clean about this kind of stuff. I mean, even the you don't want to be seen with even the possibility of appearance of right. This kind of thing. And Swalwell's pretty interesting because he was this young guy who came out of nowhere, to run against a long-term incumbent who served about 30 years. He was going to have one more term. And then there were a bunch of Democrats, who were lining up. It was a very solidly Democratic district,
right?
He entered the sort of, he had challenged him. He challenged the incumbent,
right?
Who was a I'm blanking on his name right now. But the thing with the
go ahead.
Pete Stark is his name.
Yeah.
But in California, you have it's an open primary. So the top two vote getters run against each other in November. Because it's such a solidly blue district, he ended up being two Democrats in November. Swalwell, this young guy, against Pete Stark, and Swalwell, very smart guy, very good campaign, ended up defeating this well-respected veteran, and he wasn't challenged by any of the, more longer-term people who are kind of waiting in the wings to move in. So right. This guy's origins actually are a little sketchy, a little questionable, and he's very ambitious. He decided to run for the Democratic presidential nomination, actually, in 2020.
Yep.
He's just a congressman. I'm not familiar with specific charges that you're talking about, but I've had questions about this guy actually from the get-go.
Well, behind the backdrop of that whole incident of him being known to be sleeping with this Chinese woman who was identified as a spy for the CCP. I didn't know that to me, that kind of stuff seemed like it should be pretty common knowledge. But I understand, again, that also plays into, how Menendez is essentially able to, I mean, this isn't the first time Menendez has gone through this. 10 right. years
he
ago.
Was he was way back in, he was right about, entire way back in 2015.
Right.
There was a, and it was, he wasn't convicted. It was a hung jury. So they declared a mistrial. And a lot of people, including Democrats, were upset that despite this, he became chair of the Foreign Relations Committee again when the Democrats took back the Senate. I find it very revealing, though, that slowly, gradually, you're starting to get more and more national Democrats calling for his resignation. But initially, the only calls for his resignation came from New Jersey Democrats. We're talking about the governor and members of the state legislature and members of the House representing various districts in New Jersey. And I think it sort of gave me the impression, at least, is that being in New Jersey, they were more familiar with this guy, and they knew these charges had to be true, and that they were quite willing to call him out. So his reputation of being pretty crooked has been really, really long standing, and it's just it's disappointing to see to see him given this free ride.
Yeah.
You know, and it was not just, I mean, he did some personal favors trying to get one of these guys to get a monopoly on the import of halal meats from Egypt, and a few little personal favors like that. But what's disturbing is that more disturbing really is that he really pushed the unconditional military aid to Egypt against both you've had both liberal Democrats as well as a fair number of Republicans are saying, hey, why are we arming this brutal dictatorship?
Right.
I mean, Egypt gets more U.S. foreign aid than any country except Ukraine and Israel, which are at least democracies. I mean, Egypt is a brutal military dictatorship. They have over 60,000 political prisoners. Some of these are Islamists, but most of them are just ordinary pro-democracy Egyptians, who want to have free elections, who want to end the corruption, who want to have a free press, who want to have the things that anybody who believes in democracy, whether you lean liberal or lean conservative, I mean, people just want you want to have these kind of basic rights, and Mubarak is putting these guys in jail. Torture is widespread. And they've gunned down, people in the in the streets, demonstrators. I mean, there was a big massacre that he ordered back in 2013. I mean, it was as bad as Tiananmen Square. I mean, it really was. I mean, people had this.
I have a friend of mine who actually was going to be at that student protest, and she fell ill, and both of her friends that attended were murdered.
Yes. Yeah. And so this has been, I mean, you always have debates, whether how much, if maybe it's in the strategic interest of the United States to support various dictators. I don't think that way myself, because it ends up backfiring, because you get a lot of people just angry at the United States. I mean, the head hijacker of 9/11 was a guy who'd been tortured under a previous U.S.-backed dictatorship. And that's where how he got radicalized and how he became so anti-American. So often when we end up supporting dictators, it ends up, with blowback, ends up hurting us. So I oppose supporting dictatorships, not just on moral grounds, but I think, politically it's often very short-sighted. But like I say, there have been both Republicans and Democrats who've been challenging, this unconditional aid, the $1.3 billion of taxpayer money to prop up this regime. And there is some headway being made. So at least some of the aid was being blocked. But Menendez, doing favors for his Egyptian buddies who were helping him out here, would use his power as head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to get this aid through. And the one thing I'm concerned about is that, everybody's talking about how corrupt Menendez is and that kind of thing. And like I say, this is good tabloid fodder. But we also want to think, do we really want to support a regime that is bribing our elected leaders? Do we really want to support a regime that is trying to create these assets, who are undermining our foreign policy for the sake of their own personal financial gain?
Okay, well, I guess that kind of leads into, and I know we didn't have it necessarily on our agenda per se, but that really is the impetus behind the impeachment of Joe Biden. Is the same kind of behavior. I mean, he's recorded as saying, I'm going to withhold aid if you don't eliminate this particular prosecutor who, as I understand the history and reporters that I've talked to have said, this is someone that was prosecuting corruption that directly linked back to Hunter Biden and Burisma.
Actually, I have to. I'm quite willing to criticize Joe Biden a whole number of things, but I think you're off on this one. Simply
okay.
Because one thing, Biden was in a position of power at that point.
He was the vice president of the United States.
Vice president, but you know, it was the call. You know, was Obama and the State Department. And the thing from this prosecutor was not that he was prosecuting corruption, that he wasn't prosecuting corruption. Now, the corruption in the Ukrainian government back then, especially back then, even now to some degree, but especially back then, I mean, the corruption was enormous. And they were trying to push this guy out because he was not prosecuting corruption. I mean, there's again corruption coming out of the wazoo, and it seems to be unrelated. Now, Hunter Biden, he like other first children or however you want to call them, has tried to take advantage and admit very unethical ways of his connections. I have not seen evidence of direct connections with Biden himself. If there is, obviously, I would support impeachment as well. I have not seen that, but I think the broader question that we're really looking at two things. One is the outright corruption that we're seeing in the end cases like the like Menendez.
Okay.
You know, but also the broader question is, you know, what is our foreign policy really about? If we really say we're about freedom, which I believe that U.S. foreign policy should be about, mm-hmm. You know, there's something wrong with the fact that 57% of the world's dictatorships get military aid or arms transfers, you know, from the United States.
And, well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, as a former military intelligence and being involved in and having followed that for many years, I don't disagree with you that we are supporting a number of dictators around the world and much to our chagrin, quite frankly. But who's been running the State Department for the last 50 years? You know, it is predominantly been influenced by one particular party.
Well, actually, I think we're seeing the support from dictatorships, unfortunately, as a bipartisan thing.
It's a uniparty problem, Professor.
State Department bureaucracy is a mixed bag. And they have their own kind of biases as well. Again, I've been quite critical of both Republicans and Democrats on this human rights on the human rights issues on the freedom issues. I mean, we see, and as long as we support, you know, dictators, it gives ammunition to the Putins of the world, of the Chinese Communist Party, of others saying, "Hey, you're opposing us not because of human rights, because look at all these other dictators that you support. You're opposing us because of American imperialism and hegemony and that kind of thing." So it plays right into that rhetoric, because I think that our strength, obviously our military strength is important, obviously. Our intelligence strength is important. Mm-hmm. Our economic strength is important. That's really really important. But also important, at least as important, is our moral strength.
And agreed.
If we see this kind of corruption, like in the Menendez case, and if we see us supporting tyrants that are against the very values that we profess to stand for, mm-hmm. that really hurts our power. That there's not just the hard power of the military, there's also the soft power that comes from diplomacy and, again, our moral standing in the world. And I think the whole Menendez affair just kind of underscores just how far, you know, removed we've gone, you know, from these moral principles.
Well, and it seems as though our moral compass has dropped all the way across the board. I agree with you. I think that is the greatest issue that I think is facing us right now. And unfortunately, it's been categorized that when you talk about morality, it's only framed as a social issue. And
right.
And that is much to our detriment, quite frankly. It's far more than just social courtesies. It's at the very root of determining the principles upon which we make decisions, and without those, John Adams said that our Constitution cannot stand.
Very, very much so. You and I might agree on some specific manifestations of that, but I think overall we're very much in agreement about what you're saying. And I think what's interesting is that this whole question about U.S. Support for dictatorships and that kind of thing is that there's probably no single issue in American politics, foreign or domestic, where there is such a division between public opinion and U.S. policy. I mean, we're divided on a lot of issues, whether it be abortion or immigration or economic issues or whole number of things. Mm-hmm. And you know, that and policies obviously will change depending on political parties in power and that kind of thing. But when it comes to issues like basic human rights, democracy, freedom, rule of law, I mean that kind of good stuff, there's a broad consensus about Democrats and Republicans on the rank and file level, on the grassroots
right.
level,
right?
That we should be more consistent with these principles in our foreign policy. Yet you'll find both Democratic and Republican administrations and congressional leaders of both parties, with a few exceptions, who end up rationalizing and defending this kind of support. And again, there's no issue, I think, where there is a more where our representatives are the least representative in terms of public opinion.
I agree. I would agree with that. I would agree with that, and then we have a media that spins all the facts in such a way as to create confusion, so that the people's voice is even more muffled. Unfortunately,
yes, I really get disgusted when I'm reading a lot of mainstream media. And they will call a government moderate, because they might, be willing to support the U.S. policy on certain things when they're in fact, torturing people and throwing opponents in jail. And, yes. If you're living in that country, there's nothing particularly moderate about these governments.
I agree, sir. I agree. Professor, thanks for being with me today. I'm glad we could have a conversation. Lots of good thoughts brought forward and really appreciate you being with me. Thank you very much.
Thank you and bless you.
You too, sir. You too. Professor Stephen Nunez, Zunez. Yes. And how do folks reach you really quickly? I'm sorry, I didn't get that in.
Oh, yeah, you can check my website. I haven't updated in about a year and a half, but you can see some of my articles, stephenzunes.org, StephenZunes.
Excellent. I appreciate you. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. We're going to take a break. Damon Grayson joins me on the other side. We'll be having a great conversation with him about Black fatherhood right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He is the author of When His Ways Meet Yours. When you love, you will. When you love you, he will follow suit. And you're talking, this is Damon Grayson, by the way. Damon, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Damon, this is written, basically to women to help them gain a better understanding of kind of how to build up your husband, how to build up, your mate. And give them a platform to succeed from, so to speak.
Yes, and build themselves up as well, first and foremost.
Okay.
When you love you, he will follow suit.
So, obviously, right? If you see yourself as having more value, then he is going to have to come into alignment with that, or that's not going to be somebody that you're going to have a relationship with. And that seems to be, I mean, it's interesting because from a biblical perspective, right? I mean, value, our own personal value, you know, is inalienable. It's what God gives us, but it seems as a culture, as a society, we no longer are tapped into that. And so we don't value ourselves. We shake our bodies. We show flesh. We do all these things trying to get somebody else to recognize our value, as opposed to recognizing that we have an innate value that God's given us that we don't have to do all that.
you're making this interview easy. You said it all. Yes, you're exactly correct.
Why do you think we have unwound that? If what I said is accurate, if what I said holds some truth to it, why have we spilled, for lack of a better analogy, but why have we just dumped that cup out? Why have we spilled that and filled our cup with something else?
Society.
Okay.
The employers, your parents, everything is you're supposed to do for everyone else and not yourself. Everybody is selfish, and they don't want you to be selfish and love yourself. They want you to love them. They want you to do for them, and that's how we're taught. I mean, as children, don't do that. Do what I tell you to do. And you grow up with that mentality, always offering yourself instead of, like the saying, it's better to give than receive. We grow up with that mentality, and we don't even give to ourselves because we're so used to giving to everybody else.
So does that suggest then that all the discipline is wrong?
Not all the discipline.
Okay.
You have to have structure and discipline. I don't want to get into that too much because it's bringing back old memories, the type of discipline I used to get.
But I get
discipline
you.
Discipline is necessary. It's just you have to have balance with it.
Discipline has to have an understood purpose, and then it also has to be dealt with love, right?
That's the key word, love. That's the key word. If you're doing it if you're disciplining someone out of anger, you shouldn't do it. You should do it once you're okay and free and in alignment, whether it's a punishment, a whipping, or sitting down talking to somebody. It should be within love, because if it's not in love, what's the opposite of love? Hey, it's one or the other. It's nothing down in the middle. It's either love or hate.
Yeah.
So yes, you should have balance with it and come from a place of love.
Light or darkness, basically. I mean, it's either going to be good or evil.
Correct. Right. Yep.
What was it for you that you said, you know what, I need to put this down. I need to put this in a book. What motivated you to write this book?
I was actually in a failing marriage when I started to write the book.
Okay.
That was my inspiration. There's been several people throughout the years who have come to me and told me that I should write a book about my life. It just so happened, I've always been a writer, whether it was writing a rap or poetry, whatever it may be, I've been a writer. And I do have a book inside of me about my life. I just haven't been led to write that book yet. So I said this in the last interview. When I first started to write the book, my dad called me and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm writing." He said, "Writing what?" I said, "Writing a book." He said, "About what?" And I was embarrassed to tell him what it was about, because I had already been married twice and I'm in the middle of a bad relationship and I'm writing a relationship book. And when I finally told him what it was about, he said, "Oh, you're the perfect person to write the book. You have the experience. You know what you're saying." And he's the reason I finished the book, like literally.
Wow.
That motivation, that inspiration, those words that he said allowed me to finish that book. But since I was in the bad relationship, and I was at the time, I was going to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I was involved in recording the filming and the duplication of the CDs. Every day I would meditate, read the Bible, read the book, exercise. I was disciplined. And I think that I outgrew my wife, because I was trying to better myself. I was in a bad place. Spiritually, emotionally, put it that way.
Okay.
Emotionally, I was in a bad place, and that was my inspiration to write the book. It just so happened to be for women. It's men friendly, because I was living in Puerto Rico for 6 months. I've been back for a couple of months. I went on a spiritual cleansing.
Okay.
And I read the book twice when I was there. Both times I read the book, it actually motivated me and inspired me to do better. Even though I wrote the book, it still helped me after reading the book, after I haven't read it in a while.
Sure.
So if it's good for me, it'll be good for anyone, male or female.
I found stuff. We were doing some cleaning up around here, and I found some stuff that I wrote like 10, 12 years ago. And yeah. I read it. And honestly, after I got done reading it, I thought, man, who wrote that?
I felt the same way. Every time I read the book, I feel the same way. This is some good stuff.
Who come up with that idea? That was pretty smart stuff.
Yeah. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder once you read your own writings. It's a good reminder, I say.
Well, there is a part of this, you know, that's this journey. Even after we've accepted what Christ has done for us, even after we know the completed work of the cross, there's a catch up, right? Mm-hmm. You know it in your mind, your spirit man has received it, but you still have to catch up to what's been done.
Correct. And in my opinion, we'll never catch up. Until we're off this planet, that's when we'll catch up. We'll never be perfect until we're gone. It's a, like you said, it's a journey. It's a journey.
I feel it's appropriate to share this for this particular segment too. I've shared it before, folks, but years ago, I was pastoring out in California. And I had three couples that were living together at the time. And a lot of people will be like, oh, man, you know, the people in your church living together. But I never felt like the Lord said I needed to, you know, chastise them over that. But for Father's Day, the Lord gave me a message to preach. And it was about how Dad wants to be a hero.
Yes.
And the role of the wife in helping to support him to be who he wants to be. And then in turn, him living up to that and being able to live up to who God has called him to be. And over the course of the next 3 days, all three of those couples came and said, hey, excuse me, we want to get married.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And never in my sermon did I say, hey, if you're living together, you need to edit. That wasn't the sermon. The sermon was, hey, if you're a man and you want to be a dad and, you know, all these things, these are the attributes and you can do that. And, you know, if you want your husband to be these things, then this is the way you can support him. And encourage him rather than criticizing him always and tearing him down.
They received the message, obviously.
They did. They did. Yeah, they did.
That's a blessing.
So it's so as I'm hearing you and reflecting on what's written as kind of the because you know Amazon sometimes they get it right and sometimes they get it way wrong. when you're reviewing a book, but it sounds a lot like that's the message of this book is getting the women to start seeing the men the way that they're supposed to be seen and getting the men to step up and be who God's called them to be.
It's like you read the book already. Did you have the message?
Brother, it's called The School of Hard Knocks and Incremental Tribulations.
I agree. I've been to the School of Hard Knocks as well.
You know, you mentioned before, too, and I think we should unpack that just a little bit because somebody say, oh, well, yeah, he's been, you know, divorced or whatever, and how would he know about, you know, sometimes – I mean, everything we do is falling forward, or at least hopefully that's what it is. It's falling forward. And as you have walked through these different experiences that you've had an opportunity to be able to fall forward. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, for the record, and I don't say this, anyway, for the record, I was never divorced. I always divorced the women.
Okay.
That doesn't make me an angel. you know, however, in the relationships, I learned a lot in each relationship. At the time, I was young, so I don't think I learned a lot at the time. But throughout the years, like, I've been celibate for several years now. I haven't been in a relationship for several years now on purpose. I came to find myself, because if I don't fix myself, I'm going to continue to attract the same type of women.
I got you.
I have to become what I desire.
Yeah.
Period. Point blank. If I can't look for a perfect woman if I'm not, you know, there's no such thing as perfection anyway, but I can't look outside of myself for something that I want and desire if I haven't become that.
Sure.
So I had to become that. It just so happened that I didn't become that while I was married. But like I said, with the last marriage, I was becoming that. And I grew her. I met her in church. And she was the so-called perfect woman at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then she started to change. And I started to change. We just grew in two different directions, period, point blank. And after that, I lost every single thing that I owned from childhood all the way up to that point. I mean, all my kids, because I already had three children before I met her. And I was a single father for a long time, actually. So I brought my children into the relationship. She brought her children into the relationship, and we had two more. And it didn't work. But like I said, I outgrew her, and I don't regret it at all, because if you're not growing, you're dying.
I when I counsel couples that are going to get married from 36 years of experience, by the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I remind them, you know, you're two whole people. He's not going to complete you, and you're not going to complete him. And you can't put expectations on one another that only God can fill. And I, you know, early on, probably about, I'd say, well, we were about about 4 years into our marriage. Mm-hmm. We ended up managing an apartment complex in Alameda, California. And she was downstairs in the office and I was upstairs. We had two small kids and we'd been going through some challenging things. And she was saying to God, you got to fix him. And I was saying to God, you got to fix her. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit convicted both of us and said, no, look in the mirror.
Right.
Because until you get this going the right way, this will never work.
You're exactly right.
And I've noticed over 36 years that if we're having any kind of a bumpy time, it's generally because one of us isn't doing this right. And you got to come back to that. You got to go, okay, wait a minute. Where am I here? Because right. Until I'm right here, this isn't going to function.
Expectations breeds negativity in the other person. Because the more you expect somebody else to do what you want them to do, the more pain you're going to have inside. You have to fix yourself.
Yeah.
You have to look deep inside. It's between you and God. And then it's between you and your mate. But it's between you and God.
Amen.
And you and yourself. Then it's between you and your mate.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, and it's never 50-50.
Never.
You're both aiming at 100%.
It's like we're brothers, man. You're saying everything that's inside of my head.
We are brothers.
Thank you. We are. Yes, we are.
We are brothers. 100%.
Everything we're discussing is in the book.
And folks, so that's why you need to get the book. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, you need to get this book. There, I mean, when you think about the fact that in the faith world now, you know, it used to be just in the world, but in the faith world now, the divorce rate's nearly 75%.
Yeah, it is.
And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We are supposed to be covenant people. Mm-hmm. Covenants don't just end. But right. It's because we nobody's ever taught us what a covenant is. Nobody's right. ever taught us about this level of responsibility. My responsibility, first and foremost, is to keep this where it's supposed to be. And whether it's my wife and I's relationship or my five children or my relationship with you, Damon, or Kenneth, who's the head of our network, or whoever it is, no matter what, those relationships only remain aligned so long as I'm aligned with him.
Right. And also, the mistake that I made, with the exception of my first wife, I wasn't friends. We weren't friends. Mm. Like my last wife, we eloped. We never had a chance to become friends. Mm-hmm. And with you being married 36 years, I'm pretty sure you guys are friends now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because people treat their friends better than they treat their significant other a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you're friends with your wife or your husband, the relationship will be better. It'll last longer. And true friends truly love each other. If it's only a marriage, it's not going to last.
Oh, I'll tell you a secret. 36 years. I really love to be around her. I will be exhausted. I mean, I'm like barely can keep my eyes open, but if she's like, "Hey baby, you want to watch a movie?" Uh-huh. Because I just like being around her.
Amen.
It's just being in the same room, and the next morning she'll be like, "Why did you let us turn that movie on?" And I'm like, "Baby, because it gave me a chance to be around you. Just because it gave me a chance to be with you." And to have some conversation in the movie and while it was had, pause the film and talk and go, "Oh, that was funny." And to just to be with you, baby, just to be with you.
That's beautiful. That's true friendship. That's how it should be.
And she'll be like, "We stayed up too late again." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm thinking in my head, yeah, I could have said no and I could have gone to sleep, mm-hmm. but I would rather hang out with her then go to sleep.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Well, brother, I'll send you the letter when I grow up, okay?
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, really, seriously, When His Ways Meet Yours. This one really, this was a tongue twister for me. I don't know why, but When You Love You, He Will Follow Suit. And I would say When You Love You, She Will Follow Suit. I remember years ago, the Lord hit me about, you know, the whole self-help, because, you know, it was all about self-help. And listen, the biggest self-help you can get, honestly, is from right here, is what God has to say about who you are. And I don't care who you are. Look, I get here in front of this camera and I do all the different things that I do. I'll tell you right now, my self-image could be way better, and it gets attacked. And the only way that I get through it is to remind myself what God has to say about who I am.
I agree.
That's it. You have to be reminded you are beloved of the Lord. God loves you.
No matter what situation you're in,
nope.
No matter where you are in your life, God loves you regardless.
And he's not going to leave you where you are, because that's the other, that's the, you know, that's where grace gets out of bounds or sin gets out of bounds. Here's the thing. He loves you no matter what mistakes you've made, but he's not going to leave you wallowing in your mistakes. He's mm-hmm. going to pick you up. He's going to clean you off, and he's going to take you. And if you'll let him, he's going to take you to where he wants you to go.
You keyword, if you let him.
Yes. Yes.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
Nope. No, you can't. You know, I talked just last week about three ways Melanie Collette and I did a segment about, you know, three ways that you deal with people. Sinner, those that are repentant, and those that are rebellious.
Hmm.
When they're a sinner, they don't know any better. You love them, you share with them, and you keep loving them until they get to the place where they say, hey, I want what you've got. When they're repentant, but they keep struggling, the word says, bear ye one another's burdens,
mm-hmm.
and restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest you also stumble. You should be there every single day working with that person to help them, because they have a willingness. They want to be right. If they're rebellious, you reach a place where you say, look, I got to cut you off for your own sake. Because you're going to have to, you have to come face to face with what rebellion is doing in destroying your life. And that's why Paul says you turn their soul over to Satan so that they might be saved, because they've got to have a wake up call. Sometimes you got to hit rock bottom to get that wake up call. And when they do, then you welcome them back like the prodigal son.
Right. And during that time, you as a person, sometimes something my mother used to tell me, sometimes you have to love people from a distance.
That's right.
And me personally, I always got attached to people. It used to hurt me to see other people hurt. And so I would try to make them do what I wanted them to do, because what in my mind, I'm doing the right thing. I'm teaching you what to do. I'm showing you, I'm giving you the route, and they wouldn't take it. And they used to hurt me.
Yeah.
But now since I've been to, you know, Puerto Rico, I have a whole lot more balance now, you know, and I love me more now too.
Yeah.
And I used to give from a half empty cup.
Right. Right.
I was never full.
You can't minister out of woundedness. When you're in a place where you are tore up, You can't effectively minister. And people say, well, you know, no, there is a place that you can come to of contentment. Paul says, I have learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. And I've learned how to be content in both. And there is a way to get to that place, and it's through Jesus Christ. And it's 100% available to anybody who wants it. Pick up the book, When His Ways Meet Yours. When you love you, he will follow suit. And I thank you, Damon, for being with me today. Damon Grayson, thanks for being here. This was fun.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. You can get the book on my website, mywordsofwisdom.com, or you can get it on Amazon. Just look up When His Ways Meet Yours, or look up my name, Damon Grayson.
Damon, G-R-A-Y-S-O-N. All right, we're going to sign off. I'll be back with you tomorrow here on TECN-TV, Texas Fully Loaded, coming up right after this break.